Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bringing in our man Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. Hey, Chip, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Dave. How are you?
Doing well. We are doing well. Let's start out a little bit with the news from yesterday. And we've talked about this before, and Sam and I talk about it too, how the Dogs these last 2 years have just completely dominated Tech. And it seems like just on a talent level, there's never been a bigger difference between the two schools. And what do you think will be the ripple effect for the state of Georgia and maybe the Southeast as far as what Tech decides to do in the direction that they go for their new head coach?
Well, it's going to be really interesting to see, DJ, because, you know, as you know, it's one of those things, be careful what you wish for, because Paul Johnson – in a lot of ways has done a really good job with that program. And you know, a lot of Tech people that I know, friends that are Tech alums, you know, they've kind of been exhausted of the whole Paul Johnson option thing for a long time. But, you know, it's a very, very difficult job as it is. And, you know, in a lot of ways that option made them competitive. And, you know, that certainly it drove Georgia bananas, as Kirby alluded to, after the game. You know, it's a tough system to prepare for, and it also keeps you competitive. Chan Gailey was the last coach there, ran a conventional pro-style offense, and he had a very, very difficult time competing with Georgia as well. So, but it is going to be fascinating to see, you know, who's out there. I mean, you know, I couldn't even begin to tell you who's going to end up with the job. You know, there's some fascinating rumors out there about some domino effects that could or could not take place. But, you know, I wasn't completely surprised. I thought it was pretty evident in the game, you know, that they were not competitive whatsoever. And that was the same case last year, and it looked like the gap was just getting bigger. And it really is ridiculous. We were talking to Kirby, as was last week before the Tech game. It might have been the week before that. But they virtually do not run into Georgia Tech head-to-head in recruiting at all. You know, I mean, you really – it doesn't – they don't really battle over anybody, and that's not good for Tech. They need to be in a situation where they can compete with Georgia for some of the great talent that's in the state. And I suppose that's the direction they're going to go in.
Yeah, doesn't – I mean, your cohort Mark Bradley had a – you know, he had a quick little list that he put up yesterday, and – a couple of them were triple option guys, and a couple of them were, you know, more conventional offensive guys. And just doesn't seem like that their triple option is like something they want to stay with. I mean, at least that's what it feels like. That, like you said, they're going to go to something different, and Georgia and Tech might see each other a little bit more on the recruiting trail than they have been now, which, like you made a great point there, it's pretty much non-existent at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, I don't know. You know, I don't know any of the big money people there at Tech. And let's face it, at the end of the day, that's who's going to make the call on something like this. But the ones I've heard of, you know, third party, are just tired of the whole option thing. You know, let's do something else. Let's try something else. And, you know, I mean, they're going to have to open up the money bags over there a little bit too, you know, when it comes to, you know, certainly the facilities and the staff, because they're looking at a Mount Everest in Georgia right now with what Kirby's got going on, the support staff, the facilities. And at the end of the day, that's who you're competing with in the state, or either you're not going to compete with them, which was happening with Paul Johnson more and more.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
All right, Chip, turning our attention to the SEC championship game. Georgia played Alabama in January, and this stadium didn't end up the way that Dog fans would have wanted. But the Tua Tagovailoa coming in at the half and really kind of overturning the apple cart in that game, Do you think that that specific instance in terms of something like that happening and really Alabama just making a complete 180 on the fly like that, do you think the Georgia coaching staff learned anything from that experience in terms of, maybe big picture stuff?
Well, one of the things that I think I'm going to be fascinated to see if it does make a difference, and that is in fact different, is that, Tagovailoa, as much as Kirby says that, they weren't surprised to see him come in the second half. I mean, some of Georgia's players this week said, we didn't really know that much about him. I mean, that he hadn't been part of the game plan, that they had discussed all that much. And as you guys know, and we've all witnessed, under Kirby Smart, one of his strengths is obviously game planning, strategy, taking away what other teams do well, and many times adjusting to that, in the course of a game. So I'm eager to see how well Georgia does when it comes to game planning for Tagovailoa, because they didn't have the opportunity to do that last time. Now, that said, there's been 12 previous teams who have known that Tua was going to be the starter and haven't been able to do very much about it. But, I like Kirby and his staff in these type of situations. And when I say staff, I include that army of support personnel who, they've known that, let's think about it. It's been a month almost. They've known that this was going to be the situation. I would imagine, their book is pretty thick on Alabama. And, at the end of the day, it comes to Jimmy and Joe's, not X's and O's, but I suspect they'll have a pretty good plan for Tagovailoa this time, and that'll be interesting to see how that makes things different.
Do you see this as, all right, the point spread is 13 or 13.5, so do you see this as this is the biggest underdog Georgia has been since Kirby's been here, or do you see it as this is the smallest favorite that Bama's been this season? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. I hadn't looked at it that way, Dave. That's why I love talking to you. You just look at things.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I knew just the perspective of this game, I guess, is,
I didn't realize that's the smallest line Alabama has faced all year. Is that right?
Yes, yeah.
That's amazing. Look, that's the thing about this. I mean, we are talking about, I had a opposing view in Dog Nation this week with Cecil Hurt, who has literally covered Georgia since Bear Bryant was the coach, And he's not dismissing that this could be the best Alabama team ever, okay? I mean, think about that. They've had some pretty good teams over the years. So it's pretty incredible when you think about they've gone through a 12-game season and won by an average of 35.25 points a game. Ungodly, really. But that said, and I wrote about this earlier this week, on Dog Nation. I mean, I don't see this as the Mount Everest that maybe everybody else does nationally. I mean, you got to put everything into perspective, and they hadn't played Georgia either. And while Georgia, hasn't been perfect all season, and we're still waiting for them to put together a complete game, right? But, this could be the time. Kirby loves this. One of the things I enjoyed hearing from him on Tuesday is just how much he loves these situations, playing in games. He called them wall games, meaning that there's going to be a plaque put on the wall at the end of this one for one team or the other. And, he's really good in those situations. He did it for 10 years plus under Nick Saban, planning for big games. He's 5-2 right now against top 10 teams as Georgia's coach. So he loves this, and Georgia loves this. And they're not intimidated by the situation. They're excited by the situation. And that's why I think Georgia people should feel good. Georgia brings some stuff to the table. Alabama hasn't played an offense this good or this diverse. Georgia's secondary, I think, overall secondary play, not necessarily the personnel, but the secondary play will be the best that Alabama and Tua has faced. Certainly the front seven, you would like for Georgia to be able to put more pressure on them. But you also can't be blitzing Tua right and left all day longer. He'll just chew you up and spit you out. So, I like the idea of keeping them in front of you like Georgia has all year, leading the nation in plays of 20 or more yards, fewest plays of 20 or more yards. So And the special teams is not even close here, guys. I mean, it's you know, they are terrible at kicking. I don't know what it is about Nick Saban and you know, his ability to recruit every five-star on the planet, but he can't find a decent kicker. But that's going to work in Georgia's favor, and that's good when you're indoors in a place like Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So there's hope here, and I'm surprised that line hadn't come down some. Clearly the people in Vegas aren't listening to me.
Chip, when you look at this game, obviously Bama doesn't have a lot of weaknesses, but one thing is possible here with the first half suspension of Jared Maiden, the Tide's dime safety. Do you think, and even with him in the game, people have kind of pointed out that maybe Alabama's secondary is where you can really attack them. Do you see Georgia maybe coming out and firing the ball around a little more than we're used to try and take advantage of that?
Well, you know, that's a fine line there. Yes, Sam, to answer your question, I think Georgia's going to have to throw it around. I think they're going to have to be balanced. But you also got to be careful about that, because that's a little bit of the game plan that they took into LSU. And in a lot of ways, you're white flagging it there, and you're saying, okay, we can't run on you. We can't be tough and physical with you, so we're going to try to, spread you out and throw the ball all over the yard. I think Georgia – one of the things that helped Georgia after that LSU game was kind of a recommitment to a little bit more of a pro-style offense, a little bit more play-action based. And so you got to keep those guys honest, on you. You want them guessing whether it's a run or a pass, every play. They just can't. If you get in situations where they know this is a run or they know that's a pass, they can really, really give you trouble with that defense. So I think you'll see Georgia work really, really hard to be balanced in this game. But they will bring the most sophisticated passing game, that Alabama has seen. And I say that with respect to Ole Miss, but, with Ole Miss, that's all they do. With Georgia, you've got the counter of DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield running the ball. This is by far the best run offensive line they've seen. I mean, this would be the first time that Alabama's lined up and there's an offensive line across the line of scrimmage that's as big as they are, with Solomon Kinley and Trey Hill, 350-pound guys. So, there's going to be a lot of stalemates up there, but that's good. That's better than what Alabama sees most of the time.
Chip, you're a big golf fan. When Tiger Woods used to walk on the first tee box, that intimidation factor, there were a lot of times he'd already won just because he showed up. Bama's in that same boat for most of their games, but this is one of those opponents, and especially with Kirby, and especially what happened back in January, that's not necessarily the case. And not to say that Bama can't go out and win this game by a couple of touchdowns or whatever, but how much is it a big of a deal that's one thing that they don't have in this game is that intimidation factor that they win a lot of games just because of that?
Yeah, no, I think that's a big deal. I think that's the biggest deal. I think that's where last year's game comes into play, because, when you hear Jonathan Ledbetter and Michael Barnett and these different seniors, and even Jake Fromm to some degree, there is absolutely no intimidation on the part of Georgia by Alabama. I mean, certainly they watch that video, and it's impressive to watch when you see what they've done to other teams. But they're not sitting there thinking, oh, man, look what they can do. They're sitting there thinking, hey, we can do that too, and we can do that just as well as you. And it's like I wrote about earlier this week. It's not like it's that game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium was ancient history, right? I mean, that's 11 months ago. And, that's fresh on everybody's mind that had a part in it last year. And even though this is still a very young Georgia team, probably two-thirds of the roster, was in that stadium last year when that happened. And they've been pining for this. And I'm trying to remember which player it was, but I thought he put it really, really well when he was talking about ever since that game got over last year, that is what has motivated them. And it's not talking about, motivated you for this game on Saturday. It's motivated Georgia since January 9th, the day after that. So all the workouts, everything that you did, from in the 11 months since then has been to get back into this situation. Well, now they are, so the key is not throwing up on your shoes, just being who you are and walking with that confidence, because that'll play a huge part in this game.
Chip, I'm going to throw a hypothetical here out at you. Say Georgia, you know, does not win this game and goes to the Sugar Bowl. What would your kind of initial leanings be on, you know, the thought of how Georgia fans will travel and things like that? Because Georgia did go to LSU this year, so a lot of Georgia fans have already been to New Orleans. What would your thoughts kind of be on letdown factor? Because we've seen teams like Bama go to a Sugar Bowl before after not getting where they want to go and not necessarily look great playing there.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case, and I don't think it will be the case. I mean, just going by personal experience and friends, I mean, I know a large group of friends who already have rooms reserved in New Orleans. I mean, they think this is going to happen, and they're excited about it. And I think Georgia people need to be. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday. I'm not going to be shocked if Georgia wins or if they lose, or like Dave said, if they lose by a couple of touchdowns. But people have to keep this in perspective. We've talked about it all year, the three of us here. I mean, Georgia's way ahead of the game. I think now that they've completed an 11-1 regular season, they're going back to the SEC championship game in what was supposed to be a significant year of transition, right, with all those Letterman going to the NFL, seniors and the like. You know, everything that happens at this point forward is gravy. And that's not to say that Georgia's not going to try. I mean, the bottom line, if you look at, other power indexes beyond what the College Football Rankings Committee, Georgia's the second or third best team in the country on all those different quantifications. And, whether that's a fact or not, Georgia's right there. And these guys are all going to be back next year. And we all know about what schedule and how that sets up for next year. So, you know, I think Georgia has that playing in its favor a little bit. They can be a little bit loose. They're playing with house money now. And that's why I think you're going to see Georgia pull out a lot of stops on Saturday and not necessarily get out of character, but I mean, you got nothing to lose here. And that goes both strategically and, you know, psychologically.
Well, it's a good thing and a bad thing of being in the SEC, because Bam and Georgia have to play each other. So one team's not going to win. And then you have an Ohio State that gets to play a team that's 8-4, where they're going to be graded on that. And then you've got, you know, Oklahoma and Texas is not quite the same thing, but Texas is 9-3. So it is a little bit of a disadvantage in the SEC championship game that the number one team has to play a team that's ranked higher than any of the other teams that are playing on Saturday, except for Clemson.
It is. I mean, that's, you know, in no system, is going to be completely fair in that regard. And the reality is, I have absolutely no doubt about this whatsoever. If Georgia beats Alabama on Saturday, then they'll probably meet them again, you know, in the national championship game again. And, you know, that's tough, but that's Bama. I mean, that's they're in your league. The best team of a generation, maybe ever, a program, I should say, is in your conference. And that's the wonderful thing. You know, Georgia and Alabama, they hadn't played many times, you know, over the course of history. I have a feeling we're about to see them play a lot here over the next decade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chip, we'll see you Saturday. Thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you next week, and we'll have the recap, and we'll know the bowl situation and all that stuff. And it's going to be a fun weekend. Thanks again, Chip.
And look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, Chip Towers, the AJC's DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.